At one time, America was among the best educated nations in the world. James Madison of Virginia, a key architect of the Constitution, said a well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people. But surely, James Madison, nor any of the founding fathers, would not have viewed some of the modern developments in education as positive. For example, recently, a transgender lawmaker said that pornography was supposedly educational for children. Melanie Curtis does not agree. She is the president of the Michigan chapter of PIE, Parents Involved in Education. By the way, her last name is spelled K-U-R-D-Y-S. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Melanie joins us right now. Melanie, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Sure. And your last name is pronounced how?
Courteous.
Okay, very good. So tell us about this recent controversy where I guess it's a Minnesota lawmaker was making some what would seem to me to be outrageous remarks about pornography.
Right. So it's really interesting. They were working on a bill to require that you have to have an age verification to use pornographic websites, which, you know, there's getting a lot of momentum that that's appropriate. I mean, part of the downside is that means we're all getting more surveilled and evaluated. But still, protecting children has to be a number one concern. And this lawmaker was arguing that we don't do a good job of providing LGBTQ plus sex ed in K-12, and that children should have access to pornography in order to get the proper education. And our assertion is pornography is not good for any child. It doesn't matter what their perceived sexual orientation might be as a child. Pornography poisons the mind. And, you know, I was trying to do a little research to see if there was anybody else who kind of leaned that way. And I actually couldn't find any organization that actually supports the idea of intentionally using pornography. I did find a few groups that are claiming because our sex ed in K-12 is so weak for gay kids, that they are doing it on their own, but nobody was advocating that that was a good.
You know, by the way, even the word transgender, in effect, plays into the false notion that somebody can change from one sex to another sex. I mean, it's just a fact. You cannot do that. You can butcher your body, and this has happened to lots of kids, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. But I just want to point that out.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's really terrible and insidious because, like, even in our local school, we had an incident where a girl was pretending to be a boy and had her name changed. And her classmates, a lot of them have known her all their lives. They've gone through school since kindergarten. And so a couple of the boys were having a real hard time with it. And so they just didn't want to use her name or, you know, do anything that would affirm this perceived change of her. And the teachers actually punished the boys for not using her new name, for not calling her a boy. And so what you're doing, you have teachers forcing children to lie. And that's just a horrible circumstance to be in.
Maybe the solution would be they just come up with names that can be found in both among both sexes, like, you know, Kelly, or, you know, there are names like that. I suppose even the name of this particular lawmaker is Representative Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Lee. I know a man named Lee, but I've also heard of, you know, Vivian Lee. Well, that's her last name. but still, I mean, there are Lees that are women, too. So, in other words, come up with these names. But I digress. The issue is really pornography has no place in education. And it's unbelievable that the schools can't deliver in too many cases. You know, education in terms of math and history and, you know, just some basic stuff. And instead, they have to deal with this kind of, you know, immorality, frankly.
Right. So you go from just the last few years since COVID, where parents discovered pornography in the books, in the libraries, in the schools, and they were shouted down or shut off or arrested for bringing up the point that this was happening in the schools. And now it looks like, you know, you have people advocating that online pornography might be necessary to use. We really got away from the whole proper teaching of sexual education to children. We took it out of the realm of biology, where it belongs, and we don't emphasize abstinence. And to me, and that's one of the arguments I gave to a principal a long time ago when my kids were in school. It was like they started these day of silence in support of their gay other students. And it was like, why would you celebrate any children being sex? It's so inappropriate. Children should not be even thinking about having sex with anybody. So it shouldn't be an issue. But again, this same legislator made a relationship between the LGBTQ community and pedophilia. And that, you know, he had previously fought against legislation that allowed discrimination against pedophiles, like for hiring in schools and things like that. And he said that they shouldn't be discriminated against. And, you know, we have watched this slippery slope where we get further and further into the concentration of talking about these things at school to the detriment of, as you said, teaching kids to read, write, and do math.
I guess in that last case, Jeffrey Epstein couldn't be reached for comment. But why do they even have sex in the schools? Is it even appropriate in the first place? I mean, again, I go back to the example of that quote from James Madison, or what Thomas Jefferson once said along the lines of, as long as the people can read for themselves and have access to, you know, the information, you know, we'll be okay. But nowadays, what's happened is there's this huge agenda that you see, and so many of the liberal establishment, you know, within the educational system are so anti-God and anti the Ten Commandments and anti-basic Judeo-Christian morality.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, bottom line, Jerry, we recommend that parents not leave their kids in the government schools. We did a year and a half long, really hard research project on are government schools redeemable. And we came up with the conclusion that no, they're not without a long period of time and a lot of effort, and that your kids just don't have that time. And every year they spend in an environment where they're forced to lie about a person's gender or forced to accept ideas that their families don't accept, it's not in their practice, then you can't undo the indoctrination. You can't have your children unsee pornography, whether it's in books or online, that they're exposed to in school. The longer time your kids spend there, the less they learn, the less actual good academics. So you need to get your kids out and homeschool or send them to a good Christian type school that, you know, is not using Common Core and all these bad practices that get to the core of why we're not teaching kids how to read, write, and do math.
And tell us about your organization, PIE.
It's U.S. Parents Involved in Education. That's the national organization. We're made up of a coalition of people across the country. Some of our states, we have chapter presidents. Some we just have, people who are participating. But we advocate for returning control of education to parents and local communities. Like you, we really believe that our founding fathers were absolutely right, and they were very careful about what they included in the scope of our government. And education was never intended to be part of the federal government. And it's not because they didn't think of it. It was highly debated. And actually, we never made a constitutional change to allow it. It kind of gradually seeped in that way. And now, even though only about 10% of the funding comes from the federal government to the states, they have a oversized hammer on what is taught and what isn't taught and how it's taught in the schools. So we're working really hard right now on some legislation to not just shut down the Department of Education, but to actually get the federal government out of education. And then we have in our, if you read the our government schools redeemable, you can see the big plan also includes states taking control back and then parents and local communities taking control back. And that's the only way we're actually going to get to a good educational system that's not prone to these terrible influences that have entered our school and are just infiltrating our children's minds.
Where can people get access to this report that you have mentioned a couple of times?
USPIE.org is our website. And so all of the reports on there on closing the Department of Education, on returning control to the states, and the report on our government schools redeemable are all on there, USPIE.org. And then we also have a link to our podcast, which is once a week, Unmasking Government Schools with Sherry Few. And she has great interviews with people who are familiar with separate issues all affecting education of our children.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the progress we have made technologically in all these different areas, the realm of education, we are stepping backwards. And let me give an example. My dad grew up in a Minneapolis one-room schoolhouse. I mean, he didn't grow up in the schoolhouse. He went to school there. And he even skipped the second grade. He did so well, and education was the key to great success later in Chicago newspapers, etc. But here is a poor farm boy in Minnesota. He had a fantastic education. The kids today they have probably far more dollars are spent for the education, and the educational process is going backwards. Kids are being taught what to think, not how to think.
Well, they broke everything. I mean, good teachers used to know you used phonics to teach children to read. And educators knew, just like parents knew, that all children will learn how to read by the end of third grade if you just teach them well with the phonics instruction. And third grade wasn't, you know, a place to fail them. It was the normal. It's like most kids learn to walk by the time they're a year old. Most children will learn how to read by the end of third grade. And we've broken that. And teachers don't actually know how to teach kids how to read. And it's ridiculous because a homeschool mom who didn't go to college and doesn't have thousands and thousands of dollars behind her approach can teach her children to read using phonics. And it's very simple. Sound it out. And just the way, well, the oldsters learned. Unfortunately, we have generations of adults now who didn't learn that. But there are resources available, and it's very easy to teach your children to read.
Okay, we have less than a minute to go. What would you like to say in closing? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about America's education in the future?
Well, I am very optimistic about the trend that people are pulling their children out of school. I read there's a Chicago school that has a capacity for like 300 and some, and they have 90 kids. This is an awesome trend. We need to take our country back by taking our children back and working as local communities to support each other, to pay your own way. Don't take government money. Pay your own way and educate your children. It's like the media these days, right? You are taking back our media by having an independent podcast that shares your worldview and invites people to join us. We have to do the same thing in education.
All right. Let me give your website. It is USPIE.org. Thank you, Melanie. All the best.
Thank you very much.